I want you to be honest with yourself right now. It's a hard thing to do on a Monday morning, but you and me will all feel better for it in the end. All right, you ready? How do you argue? Do you go for the low blows? Maybe get a little bit personal? Sit on the silent treatment for a little too long? Do you bring up disagreements from the past? We're never shown in our best light when we argue, and we all have different arguing styles, much like having your own personal fashion sense. You too have an individual conflict style, and if you know how you like to argue, it could help you have better arguments, or at least manage how you behave in the heat of the moment. How? Tyra Whitewood is from The Sugar Doctor, our regular guest. Good morning.
Good morning, Kaya.
Firstly, do you have a favourite album?
Let's start there. Yeah, I do. Quick research at the front thinking, oh gosh, I know she's going to ask me. And so the one that I picked today, it's hard to narrow it down to one always, but I love The Big Come Up by The Black Keys. Oh. It's always been a big favourite of mine.
Nice.
And one of those ones that you can kind of throw on no matter what you're doing, whether you're, you know, kicking around the house or have a few people over.
Pumps you up.
Pumps me up.
Brings you down. Can be good background music.
Love it.
Love it. All right, let's talk arguing. Is it right to say, how do I become a better arguer? How do I win all my
how
fights?
How do I win more? Yeah. So I guess when we're talking about conflict styles, what we're really talking about when you get under the surface of that is how have you been educated? How have you been taught to thrive and survive in your environment? And really it comes from the way that you grew up as a child. Like, how was conflict managed in your household? So, you know, later as adults, we logic ourselves and logic our partners and try and justify that the way that we do it is better. Or smarter,
but in my life, this is what I'm used to. Yeah,
but I mean, it really just comes down to how were you taught as a small child to get attention and to you know, to navigate conflict in your household.
Do we realize? Do you think that we do have different ideas of what conflict and argument looks like?
Yeah, I think we do, but I don't think that we necessarily have the consciousness that it's something that is learned behavior, and we tend to present it as a logical conclusion that we've come to. You know, oh, this is how I've decided as an adult that I'm going to navigate conflict, and then we make our partner wrong because they do it in a different way. So quite often when we're disagreeing about something, where the conflict actually lies is in the way that we're approaching it rather than the actual thing.
What are some of the different styles that we might see?
Yeah, so it comes from a model of psychology or psychobiology, which is kind of the intersection between psychology and body, right, biology, called attachment theory. And the man whose work I really love, his name is Stan Tatkin, and he's written a great book called Wired for Love. He talks about attachment theory using the metaphor of waves and islands. Mm. So if you think about a spectrum where at one end you have people who are waves and one end people who are islands, and in the middle you have an anchor, which is secure attachment. So someone who has a really secure attachment style has been parented, and when I say parented, I don't necessarily mean mother or father. It could be grandmother, it could be auntie.
Just
it could
family
be
vibe.
Parents. Yeah. Whoever the sort of primary carer was in that child's life, if they have a secure attachment style, then what that means is that they know that they can rely on their carer. They know that they're going to be that they're predictable.
Mm.
They're attentive. They know that their needs will be met, and they become more secure as individuals. They become more willing to be collaborative and adaptive because they know that they're safe.
Yeah.
You know? So as a child, someone with a secure attachment style, or who's that anchor, has a parent who they know that when they come back to them, they'll get attention. They know that they can go away and come back, and there's no punishment for that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which then, if we're from two very different backgrounds when it comes to that sort of stuff, you can see why then there's clashing in arguments.
So then you just become, you start to trigger each other. So then at the one end of that spectrum, you'll have an island who would be someone who had parents who were probably predictable but quite inattentive. So maybe that child had to learn to self-soothe. They couldn't come and get a cuddle if they'd hurt themselves. And the focus in that household would have tended to be more on results and performance rather than connection and relationship. So that child child learns to be quite self-contained. And as adults, you can tell that they tend to be pretty independent and self-reliant, but they can be in a relationship a little bit overwhelmed by intimacy. They sort of want their own space. And Stan Tatkin has this quote that makes me laugh about this style, where he says, you know, I want you in the house, but just not in my room.
Oh, he's talking right at my heart.
you can see the little smile pass over your face.
Just very glad again that my partner's at work right now and not listening, because this would be used in our next argument.
This is your personal Monday morning therapy session.
That's it. It's 8 minutes to 10. We're talking arguing in our regular relationship chat on ABC Newcastle. My guest, Tara Whitewood. Some interesting thoughts coming in from you as well this morning on the text 0487 99 1233. This text said, I used to explain things in arguments over and over to someone that didn't listen. However, a friend told me a piece of advice. Tell the person you're going to say something once, as it's not my responsibility for them to listen.
Yeah. And that sounds like a really typical wave style. So the other end of the spectrum from an island style is what Stan Tatkin calls a wave, which is a more anxious attachment style. So a child who's grown up in a household where their parents may be a little bit less predictable. So they're attentive, but you don't always know what you're going to get. Mm. Sometimes you're going to get reassured and attention, and sometimes your parent might be overwhelmed or need a little bit more support, or the child might actually need to regulate in some way that parent's emotional state. Mm. And so those kids tend to grow up to be more of a wave style, which is, you know, imagine a wave crashing on the beach and then retreating and then crashing in and retreating. So the reason that I'm thinking of that is that caller, a wave style tends to want to be reassured more. So they need the verbal and nonverbal cues. You're loved. You're okay. I understand you. I appreciate your point of view. They need to be heard and understood. Mm. So you think of if you have someone at the opposite extremes, the wave and the island will retreat, doesn't want to be involved, and the wave will continue to crash.
Wait. It's funny that it's an island and a wave, because an island can't run very far from a wave. Right, it's going to find it no matter what.
But they'll go internal, you know, go completely internal, and then ultimately if the wave continues to crash on the shores, what will happen is that island will just completely shut down and do kick into a behaviour that we call stonewalling, which is just, you know, completely shut down, block your partner.
Can't.
Yeah.
Brett says, I usually try to negotiate rather than argue. If I sense the other side isn't being fair or charitable, I'll shut down and walk away. Although if it's just for sport, I'll try to trap people by getting themselves to talk themselves into a corner where they contradict themselves. Oh, that's I feel like that's very Australian, wanting to be like, game on.
Sure. And a classic island behaviour, you know, to sort of have the present the facts and to want to be logical and then want to retreat if it gets too emotive. So a wave will tend to be much more large in their emotions, and that can be really confronting for an island.
That idea that, or those words that Brett has used, fair or charitable, how important is that in when we think about arguing? Because we're going to argue, we're going to have conflict, even if it's not big, stampy, yelly, screaming, there are going to be conflicts in our relationships.
Yeah.
How important is fair and charitable in the dealings that we're having in these heated times?
I think it depends on the outcome that you want. I mean, if the outcome that you want is to be right, then you might continue to rely on those logical arguments and facts and try to get to that point where you've logicked the other person into submission.
Define right, though, when it comes to relationships.
I don't think that right exists when it comes to anything in particular. We're seeing everything through the lens of our personal experience. So, you know, it makes me laugh when people come and they say, oh, you know, my partner's doing this because they're treating me like I'm their father or their mother or their ex-partner, and I'm not that. And I think, well, but, you know, you are. You're the sum of all your experience, and you have to know that when your partner comes to a relationship, they're bringing the sum of all of their experience, their memory, their perception, all through their own lens. So I don't know that any of us really have any strong handle on what's truly right and true and factual. In my opinion, memory is a hazy and unreliable thing. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that's the long answer. The short answer is, if you would like to be right, then that's the fairness and the, you know, justice is one path you can follow, but it's not often the path to connection.
So how do we argue better, fairer, in a way that I guess, doesn't always end up in head clashing, but maybe actually ends up in resolution.
Yeah, so I think it's about how do we connect better? So how do we connect better during conflict? And that starts with understanding your attachment style, the attachment style of yourself and your partner, and what that might lead to you doing behaviorally so that you can recognize it when it starts playing out. So if you're someone who wants to get up and run the second that there's some kind of conflict, then you need to know, okay, I'm being an island, you know. Maybe it would be good for me just to be here, just to take some deep breaths and work on this connection. Because the really interesting thing about this is, because it's an adaptive behavior, it means that we can change that. We can grow and learn, and we might be different in different relationships. So if you're a wave and you're crashing, you might think, oh, how can I do this, you know, a little bit less emotively so that my partner can stay. So it's about the way to do it is know which style is yours and your partner's. Don't try and change them, but become experts in each other. Mm. So really know how to soothe your partner, because it's in relationship that this healing takes place.
The earlier texter who said, you know, I'd say I'm only going to say this once. He said instead of island and wave, it should be like tsunami and Fort Knox.
Right? Alcatraz.
Yeah, that's it. Depending on where you are, it's like a big beach wall and a tsunami coming at it.
And ultimately, I mean, that's the expression that will happen if both people are really locked into their way of doing things, where you can perhaps begin to move towards a more secure attachment style. If you're happy to be a little bit more adaptive, learn how to soothe your partner and recognize what's coming up for them so that you're not triggering each other. Because the really interesting thing is, the first thing that a wave will do is the last thing that an island will do, and vice versa. So you think it's worse than it really is, because you're like, oh my gosh, they're going to last resort first. Disaster.
It's not. Calm down. Breathe. You can
relax.
Do it. Tara, thank you.
Pleasure.
Our regular guest on a Monday talking relationships. That is Tara Whitewood from the Sugar Doctor.